This is a Mortarbox Media podcast. For more podcasts and to learn how we can help you create your own, visit mortarboxmedia.com.
Hey, welcome to Chill Filtered, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to, but you probably should. On today's show, we're going to be drinking Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye, and we're very excited about that. But before we get to the whiskey, let's get down to just a little bit of business. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcasting app that you use to listen to us, that would be great. Hey, while you're there or while you're on Apple Podcasts app or iTunes, you can leave us a rating and a review. That helps us grow and all that stuff. If you want to see us grow even more, you can go to patreon.com/chillfiltered, and we'd appreciate that a lot. That's the business. Here's the podcast. Cole, as always, how are you? It's good to see you. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to see you too. I'm doing well. This we just officially, technically, when we're recording this, broke December, like through December. Yeah. It's no longer
December 1st when we record this.
Yes, that's one way to put it.
This is going
to
be coming out
January 14th.
How do you know that?
Or was it the 15th?
I have no idea.
I think it was the 8th we were recording for last time.
So, okay.
Yeah. Wow. But I'm excited. Yeah, let's see. I think I said before we picked out an apartment already. And
let's refresh anybody who doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. So I am. I took a job. I've been studying to become an actuary, and I took a job as an actuary in the Phoenix area. So I will be moving soon, and we will be continuing recording. But we are putting together a little bank of to get a little buffer, so that when we are testing out future episodes through kind of a Skype method, that we will have at least a little buffer.
Well, part of it is, here's what we know. Podcasting in a room with each other, recording in a room with each other, there's a certain dynamic that happens face to face, and we are going to lose that dynamic.
A little bit.
Not a little bit. We are going to lose the face to face dynamic of this. Empirically, podcasts are better when the two people are in the same room. So we're trying to get as many of those recorded as we can where we can keep that going. And I even think that maybe at some point what we'll do is kind of mix them together with the, like, you know, 1 week it'll be Skype and 1 week it'll be a banked episode.
Great idea.
And then I do want to say, make a semi-announcement. Yeah. Because of that, we're going to be starting to experiment with shortening our episodes, because like I said, we want as many face-to-face ones as we can do. So we're thinking that we're going to do a bunch around that 20-25 minute mark. And we'll see how that goes. It's not necessarily a permanent thing. You know, maybe we could record a bunch of 20 minute ones that we do the every other week thing, where one is a Skype 45-minute show, and then one is a 20-minute show that we banked. And I just had the thought that those 20-minute ones don't even necessarily have to be about a whiskey, that we drink a whiskey. Mm-hmm. It could just be us drinking some whiskey and having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, because we both want to keep this going for as long as we can, and want to see it do well. So
yeah, and hit us up on Twitter on maybe some feedback, or even, you know, hit us up on Instagram.
Instagram and Twitter is where we're most most active, and our handles there are at Chill Filtered Podcast. That's Instagram, and then at Chill Filtered PC on Twitter. So all right,
that's how are you enough. Doing?
I'm hungover.
Yeah, you had some fun last night.
You came over with your wife. My friend Matt and Natalie came over, and we were playing games.
Yeah.
And whiskey was being poured, and PBR was flowing
like honey,
like cheap beer. Oh wait, it is cheap beer. we had a good time last night. You just said that everybody left around like 11?
11:30.
Like 11:30, yeah. I have a recollection of people leaving.
Yeah.
But as soon as the door shut, I have no memory.
Nothing.
Nah.
Hey, he probably just dropped on the bed. That's probably what it was.
I think that's what it is, yeah. Because it's I didn't get blackout drunk or anything, but I was pretty tipsy. Mm-hmm. I was drunk.
Yeah.
I remember, I guess I do kind of remember walking to the bedroom, but then I immediately fell asleep.
Oh yeah.
And then woke up in the middle of the night completely naked.
Wow.
Have no memory of taking off my clothes.
Did you have any bruises or anything?
No, but I do remember like waking up and like I got up to go to the bathroom and I was like, what?
There's no clothes on.
What happened to my boxers? And they were laid neatly next to the bed.
That's so good.
Because Ashley wasn't in bed. She didn't go to bed when I did. She just told me she stayed up till 4.
Wow.
And I woke up around 4:30.
Mm.
So it's not like she took off my underwear and laid them neatly somewhere.
sounds so weird.
I know,
though.
It does sound weird. I, at some point in my sleep,
neatly put them on the side,
decided to disrobe them.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. And neatly lay them. I mean,
was
very
it like
neatly.
Folded or
no,
was it lucky?
They were like laid out.
Wow.
I didn't like fold them, but like it wasn't like I just tossed them and they happened to lay. Like it was very clearly that like I laid them.
Wow. Out. No wrinkles on those.
No, yeah. Wow. So, and then. This is kind of a weird. And then I woke
up. It's
kind
of good though.
I had one of those dreams that you have a dream in.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually you have a dream that you woke up from a dream.
Yeah, yeah, I've had those.
So in my dream, I woke up from a dream where I had gone on Facebook Live.
Oh no.
And exposed myself.
Oh wow. Maybe it was real.
Well, that's the thing.
You like check the next morning?
That's the thing. I woke up this morning and I was like,
you're like, please
wait.
No.
Because I had also, you know, woken up naked in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning I woke up and I was like, did I? Oh my gosh. There's no way I would have done that. So I go on to Facebook and I'm like checking. I'm like, oh,
thank God.
Oh, good. I would have gotten into some serious.
Oh my goodness.
There would have been some repercussions for that.
It must have been a great feeling when you realized it was not the case.
No, it's not because I'm like, there's no evidence of it happening.
Oh, wow.
But like, there's still like in the back of my mind, it's like, well, maybe Facebook removed it.
Oh, wow.
But not before 35 friends saw it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's so funny.
So that's how my morning's been going. But yeah, so that's life.
That's cool though.
You don't ever experience anything like that because you don't drink like that.
Yeah, I don't push to the limits.
You don't get drunk and you don't curse.
Yep, you still haven't gotten me to curse.
I don't think it'll ever happen at this point, but
that's good. But listeners, hang in there. Because like, there's been listeners that are like, I just listened to see if Cole's gonna curse.
Yeah, yeah. There are people. I have people who maybe not listen to the show, but they have met you and they know you as the guy who doesn't curse.
Oh, that's great.
And sometimes they'll be talking to me and they're like, hey, is that guy? Have you gotten him to curse yet?
Like, I love how it's like a competition now. Like whoever gets me to do it gets like $100.
Yeah, right. How do you think? What would it take to get somebody to curse? Like, how could you get somebody to curse?
I can tell you I've been close here and there.
Like if I hit you or something?
No. I all these years I've had times of anger, but it's just been like suppressed in that way. But there's been times where I've been maybe not like drinking loose, but just kind of loose with how I'm speaking.
Sure.
And one time,
go ahead.
Yeah, one time I really enjoy, sometimes it's probably terrible for the fact that I don't curse, but I really enjoy people adding the A word after an adjective.
Yeah.
Like
broke ass.
Yeah, or like stinky or something like that.
Stink ass.
No, yeah, but I almost said fancy when I was at the bar.
Yeah.
And I was like, this woman was like super she was fancy, like a fancy. And
ass.
I like caught myself. Like,
she was fancy a
fancy
ass lady.
And you know, high class. And yeah, that was one of the closest times I've ever came.
Fancy ass, classy ass lady.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so. You know, that's the thing is like you've never been drunk.
I got close.
I don't know.
At a wedding recently. Yes, I pushed it to the limit.
So, but you don't get drunk. But there is something to be said for like that party drunk, that hangout drunk,
yeah,
where you're not actually drunk, but you're consuming alcohol,
yeah.
And everybody's having a good time. It's like when I was, you know, young, before I turned 21 and had a couple of drinks, I had two Mike's Hard Lemonades, right?
Oh, there you go.
But you still, I didn't get drunk, obviously, but you're still, you're at a party. Yeah. And so like there's this magical thing that happens where you're like, ha, I'm more goofy.
Yeah, I call it loose.
Yeah. So it's, I call it party drunk.
Oh, okay.
Because it's what I mean by that is just, you're not actually drunk. Yeah. You're just at a party and
a little
feeling
slap
good.
Happy.
Yeah. So that's what almost got you to curse.
Yep.
Well, I feel good about our banter.
Yeah.
Real quick, we are drinking
Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye. It is actually their first rye offering.
I was gonna say, I didn't know they did a rye.
Yeah.
So but before we hear anything more about that, we're gonna take just a quick break. Welcome back from break. I just love that music so much. There's specific parts of that music that I'm just like, like, I'm just like, yes, I can take on the day now. I'm no longer hungover. Hey, Cole.
Yeah.
You told us what we're drinking.
Yeah.
And I am very intrigued about it.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to taste it. But we don't do that yet.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe don't shake it, baby.
I know. I was shaking it in my palms.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about, I usually talk about like distillery first. So this is actually not so much like a Crown Royal distillery. It's part of the Crown Royal. I mean, it's made by the Crown Royal Distilling Company.
Sure.
It's technically, made by the old Seagram's, like label. They have it's made in Gimli, Canada, which is in the Manitoba region. Province. Yeah. right near Lake Winnipeg, if you're familiar with the area. It used to be owned by Seagram's.
Manitoba area.
Like, place.
Take a break. Take a break.
They used to be owned by Seagram's, a big Canadian company. They actually started in 1857, Seagram's.
Yeah.
But since 2000, it was the company like that owned a lot of brands that dissolved, and Diageo took over. Diageo was technically the largest distiller internationally until recently. They were actually
that's good mic technique there, Cole.
What'd I do? Like,
right into the microphone.
Yeah, I caught that a little bit.
Sorry.
No. They were beat out last year as the largest distiller in the world by a Chinese company, and we're gonna go for it. Kui Chow Mutai. I might be completely butchering.
Is it Q-I?
No, it's a K-dub.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Other brands that Diageo has are like Smirnoff and Johnny Walker. They own those and plenty more for sure.
Yeah.
Crown Royal brand was introduced in 1939. The distiller was like making something about the king and queen of Canada or whatever. But back in the day,
do you understand?
There was some monarchy.
Yeah. England.
No.
Yeah.
I gotta look it up later. I should have not mentioned that. But look up Crown Royal introduction or something like that. Anyway, it was introduced to the U.S. in the 1960s. Speaking of Canadian whiskey, we've never done an episode on a Canadian whiskey yet.
Well, not technically.
Why? Oh, yeah, because Whistlepig. No, but Whistlepig, that one was a MGP product. Normally, Whistlepig is Canadian.
No, but I'm pretty sure we've had something else that was sourced from Canada.
It might have been. It might have been like the Redemption or something like that. But no, Redemption's MGP too. But we might have.
All right. Well, I guess I'm wrong. Jeez.
No, it's all good. Here's some Canadian whiskey stipulations.
All right.
Must be mashed.
Just so you know, the Queen of Canada
is
Queen Elizabeth, who's the Queen of England.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, but they call her the Queen of Canada as well?
The current Canadian... Well, I mean, no. They don't.
Okay.
I'll read the first paragraph from the Wikipedia. The monarchy of Canada is at the core of both Canada's federal structure and Westminster style of parliamentary and constitutional democracy.
Mm.
The monarchy is the foundation of the executive, queen in council, legislative, queen in parliament,
No, I just did what you did.
Yep.
And judicial queen of the bench branches within both federal and provincial jurisdictions. The sovereign is the personification of the Canadian state and is queen of Canada as a matter of constitutional law. The current Canadian monarch and head of state is Queen Elizabeth II, who has reigned since February 6, 1952.
Oh, that's really cool, actually. Now I know. Yeah, because they were like saying something about like the monarch of
I guess
Canada
I don't,
or whatever.
I don't really understand how that works, to be
I
honest
I don't care
with
to
you.
Know.
Because, like...
Beyond that is.
Yeah.
Canada.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, why would they have their own
Canada
government?
Canada is a completely separate government from England.
Yeah. I mean, they have their, like, prime minister
you know,
and everything.
I know what I'm doing after we recorded it. I'm researching this.
Yeah?
Anyway, sorry.
Kind of a fun research
you go ahead.
Anyway, yeah, Canadian whiskey must be mashed, distilled, and aged in Canada. Some of the other stipulations are it must be, quote, be aged in small wood for not less than 3 years, unquote.
Mm.
Which is interesting. Like, what does that mean, small wood? These... another quote,
contain, we're not going there, Cole.
Contain not less than 40% alcohol by volume, which is the standard kind of whiskey, you know, stipulation there. Mm-hmm. And then another quote, may contain caramel and flavoring, which kind of cheapens it a little bit, in my opinion.
Yes.
And then, for the most part, it's blends of single grain, whiskeys, meaning like 100%. Or not, actually, it doesn't mean that in every case, but I think in Canada, most people will do 100% rye and then 100% corn and blend it through
sure.
that. But mostly corn and rye when it comes to Canadian. But, you know, wheat and barley can come in there. Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye comes in a velvety bag, like many other Crown Royal products. I write that down.
Like every Crown Royal product.
Is it every?
I mean, I would.
Even like their base?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think if you just go buy Crown Royal,
I think even their
comes
minis.
In that purple. Yeah,
like
I think the
half,
minis have
yeah, yeah.
the little purple.
That's funny.
But this isn't a purple bag.
Yeah, this is a white bag.
It's a fancy white one.
Yeah, it's almost the... Yeah, it's got a gold lining.
It's like the Shroud of Turin.
The Shroud of Turin. Made from Canadian rye. A lot of companies might grab from American rye, but this specific one is from Canadian rye. This is the first Canadian whiskey.
Let me ask you this mm-hmm. quick. Do you think that makes a difference? Isn't rye grown in Canada the same rye that's going to be grown here?
I want to say yes, but they're very proud of that. And that doesn't make your answer yes or no. But
yeah.
they very much are like, no, this comes from the fields of like Canada land.
Canada land.
Yeah. This is the first Canadian whiskey to ever win Jim Murray's World Whiskey of the Year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one in 2016. And it was a huge controversy for a $30 bottle to win that big a award. But it really goes to show, and I love it. It's great, but it's nowhere near the best whiskey I had that year or anywhere near. I think that it really taught me that Jim Murray's not the you know, Lord and Savior of all whiskey.
Sure.
But he does have his whiskey Bible, which is valuable.
Bible.
Did I do that?
Hell yeah,
oh,
you did.
Man. But I respect what he says, and I respect his notes on things, but I've kind of realized over time that Jim Murray is a great starting point of where you should maybe try out crazy new things and
sure.
stuff like that. But when it comes down to, he's just a man. He's just one dude with one opinion.
You know, I actually feel that way about most things
yeah.
that, like, I'm not going to follow one person's...
Yeah.
Like, I love Amazon reviews because I can mm-hmm. see tons
oh, yeah.
of what people think. Tons of opinions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't base my choices on certain things off of one opinion. Like,
yeah.
I've just never been that way.
I mean, some people see this as like the way of
yeah.
Jim Murray, that is. And he does, like, even, I mean, honestly, last year was the four grain, the E.H. Taylor four grain, fantastic whiskey, like one
yeah.
of the best I've ever had. And then this year was the William LaRue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, it's just incredible. And previous
what
years.
What year did this win?
2016.
Okay.
So when the book came out, it was late 2015, right about now.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, it's good. It's, but yeah, it tells, but I, it makes me appreciate blind tasted, panel based.
Yeah.
Whiskey review or whiskey, tournament, what do you call them? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Like people do like, competitions. Just,
okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I like the blind and panel based ones. And then this bottle in particular is 90% rye. 10%, oh, really? Who knows? I've looked around quite a bit and people are like, it's a mystery. And that's pretty much all the stuff I got on this one. I don't think they add any color, but actually I don't know. And I did a lot of research to find color and flavor, which they're allowed to, but I do not think they do. Canadians are known to be very smooth.
Wait, they don't add it?
I'm not sure.
I thought you said earlier that they do add caramel. They can. And
they're allowed to.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not... It says may contain caramel or flavoring in the laws.
You know how much it costs for anybody
who's interested? Yeah, it's about
$30. Okay.
Yeah.
Totalwine.com has it for $27.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So as we say, give or take a few bucks.
Yep.
Now, you know, I always think of Crown Royal as kind of being the Canadian Jack Daniels.
Yep.
It's like the... what I call a fast food whiskey.
Yeah, it is.
So, to be honest with you, I'm excited to taste this, but I don't have high hopes for it.
Yeah.
I don't have high hopes that it's going to be this incredible whiskey.
You know, when I think of Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye, I kind of think of like, you just want, like, it's almost like thirst quenching. It's so smooth, which isn't always a good thing.
This is not a good thing.
No, no, it's just like, it makes me think it is because it's so smooth. It's, you'll see.
Okay. So, well, let's take a quick break and get to that because I do want to taste it. So here's the break. All right, back from break once again here on Chill Filtered. And as Cole is grabbing the bottle of the Crown Royal Harvest Rye, I'll tell you a little bit about what it looks like.
And in the meantime, you hear that cork sound? That's right, you don't, because it's a screw cap.
One of the rare times we have screw caps.
Yeah.
And is it a screw cap on a glass bottle, huh?
Yep. I mean, but there's
it's kind of a strange pour you just did.
Jack Daniels, do they have a screw cap, right?
I guess you're right. You're right. So it's wow, it's really light.
Yeah, definitely.
Like very light in color.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Good pour.
Yeah, it's a healthy pour that I don't think I'm going to finish.
Really? Dude, no, you're going to like this.
I'm hungover.
Oh, that's true. Very light.
Yeah, like almost wouldn't think it was whiskey if I didn't know it was.
Yeah.
Just based on color, I guess.
Smell like a rye to you?
Nope.
It smells a little like a rye.
Smells like Jack Daniels to me.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Jack Daniels has that distinctive banana smell to me.
Hmm.
Ooh, I got a little burned by that smell. Not that it's hot. I just think I
put it in wrong. Whiskey of the year?
Yep. 2016. The number one. Yeah, first Canadian
ever. You know, I guess what I mean by saying it smells like Jack Daniels is it just smells like cheap whiskey.
Yeah, light and not too, I don't know, not too like oaky or not too, you know, well put together. Yeah, I'm getting a little, so like, when I think of cheap rye, I actually do like this. It's not like my favorite cheap rye either. Like Sazerac would probably be my favorite.
Yeah.
And even I think, honestly, I probably would prefer Redemption to this as well in the terms of the cheap range. But it's got a difference to it. It's smoother. It's lighter. But it's not always a bad thing, in my opinion. But I do like it. Yeah. So... on the nose, just a little bit of candy, but not that strong candy you'd get from like Owl or a Kentucky Owl or like even the Rendezvous Rye we had.
Yeah,
just light. I don't know. I can't think of any other big notes, but I'm getting a little bit of that candy.
It's kind
of
getting fruity.
Any? Oh, fruity for sure.
Yeah,
like a apple-y.
I'm getting grapes.
I'm getting like a nice non Granny Smith apple, like a pie apple.
They're called baking apples.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Not pie apples.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna stand by my pie apple.
Okay.
Yeah.
You shut your pie hole.
Yeah. You shut your road apple. I don't know.
My road apple?
You ever heard of that phrase? Road apple?
No.
It's like a horse poop on the road.
That's called a horse apple.
Nah, it's a road apple.
No.
Yeah, I know what
it's called. A horse apple.
It's pie apples and road apples.
I've never heard road apple.
I think that's right.
I've only ever heard a horse apple. No. Listeners, you can vote. We'll put up a poll on Twitter.
Is it horse apple?
Is it? We're not going to put up a poll, but you tweet at us.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, tell us which one you think. Horse apple or road apple?
Mm-hmm.
Who's right, Adam or Cole? How's that taste?
It's very smooth. Light-ish, but not like watery. I mean, it's a little watery light compared to like Sazerac, but it's still got flavor. It doesn't, it's not like empty. It doesn't have this like pocket, you know, like some whiskeys you'll try and there's just this like pocket. You're like, whatever happened to the flavor? And oh, I guess there's a little bit on the finish. It's got some, definitely candy-ish, fruity, very fruity.
Get some apples there in the palate.
A little bit of berries I get as well. Like, almost like,
I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know that burn that you get from whiskey? It almost completely disappears as soon as you swallow
it.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
This is a little stretchy, but I'm very stretch. It's a stretch, but I'm standing behind it. Blackberries.
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I've never had a blackberry in my life.
What?
Yeah.
Do they grow them out in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
But you just never had one?
No.
Do you care to have one?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Never had a raspberry either.
What? No.
Yeah, I've never had a raspberry.
Why?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
I just haven't.
I've never felt so indignant towards you.
I didn't like the way they looked. They really? Looked like alien food. They're fuzzy.
You ever had like raspberry flavored stuff?
Like candy.
Yeah.
Sure.
You ever had like a raspberry Danish?
No, I don't like Danishes.
Wow. I've never felt so indignant like towards you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's no big deal.
Do not buy me raspberries or blackberries because I will throw them away. It'll be a waste of your money.
But you've never tried them.
Don't care to. My life is not missing anything.
You ever seen Good Will Hunting? Yeah, I'm about to bring a great point.
Have I ever seen in Good Will Hunting?
No, no, no. Like the movie Good Will Hunting?
You said, have you ever seen in Good Will Hunting?
No, no, no.
Yes. You Fine. Said, have you ever seen in
Good Will Hunting?
Yes, of course.
So you know where Robin Williams
it's
is
not
like,
your fault,
have you ever
Cole.
Been to the Cole, Sistine it's Chapel?
Fault. It's not your fault.
No, no, no. Don't mess with me, man. No, but like he's like, you ever, you know, he's like, you talk about love, but you could probably list the girls you've been out with. And he's like, but you've never like held someone in your arms and truly felt like vulnerable or whatever it is. Like, I feel like you're like, raspberries are, you know, I've read about them and seen them and they're ugly. And you're like, but you've never experienced. I'm trying to make this deep, but I really feel this. I'm like,
listen, man.
Oh, man.
We get into this argument all the time, Ashley and I do,
mm-hmm.
because I there are certain foods that I've never tried and I've just decided I don't like them.
Wow.
And she goes, you can't know until you've tasted it.
Yeah.
And dropping some water in our whiskeys here. And, you know, she basically says exactly what you just said. like you say you don't like it, but you can't until you've experienced it, you don't know. And I'm like, listen, I've never been skydiving, but I can kind of close my eyes and imagine what it feels like to go skydiving. Same thing with this food. I can kind of imagine what it's going to be like, and I don't like it.
There is nothing like a raspberry.
What do you mean there's nothing? Like you just mean it's so good?
No, it's just like you can't be like, I feel like that's going to taste like this.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not comparing it to something else. I'm just saying I can imagine what this flavor is, and I'm not a fan.
Wow.
And it's not even flavor. It's about the texture for me and stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. When I've held raspberries and blackberries, they're always mushy, and I can't put that in my mouth.
I feel like that's real. Like, I don't like certain textures. Like, grilled vegetable texture.
What?
Like
asparagus?
Peppers.
Oh, what?
Like, that skin.
Oh, no, that's so good. I can't get behind that at all.
Yeah, but I understand like, the texture
me,
thing.
For me, like, if a food is that kind of sogginess that you're talking about, like grilled peppers, if there's a reason that it's that way, I'm fine with it. But if I pick something off, like you pick a raspberry, it's mushy.
Yeah.
And any other fruit that you pick off a tree, if it's mushy, it's rotten.
Yeah.
You know, if an apple is mushy, you're like, don't eat that apple.
Yeah.
How was it with that water in it?
Water's good. I still like it. It's not too much different. It's almost not existent in any change, or no change is existent in this.
Mine got a little spicier.
Okay. It's also 90 proof. I forgot to mention that, which is better than the 80 proof I was expecting for a Crown Royal product. No difference for me, but I like that spicy difference for you.
Drop a cube in there.
About to drop a cube. These cubes didn't stick together this time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think it's because I grabbed them.
It's with a cube in there. It's very rubbing alcohol-y.
Yeah, I lost every good part of the nose on the with the ice.
I will say, it has a pleasant burn while it's in your mouth, at least.
Mm.
How is it?
I'm getting almost no taste. Like, I'm tasting more of the ice than the whiskey.
This is my favorite form.
Really? That's cool.
It was really, you know, with the drops of water and the ice in it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really diluted, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I would drink this if I wanted a little kick, but to also quench my thirst.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would put some ice in there.
What do you think this would be best, mixed or cocktail?
I don't know.
I think this would be great in any sort of mixer.
I don't. Like, yeah. Like a Coke?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put this in Coke.
Put this in Coke.
Too much apple, too much fruitiness to be put into a Coke.
I would also make, let's see, my rye cocktails of choice. You know, I would make
I think it would be interesting in a Sazerac.
If I wanted a really light Manhattan, I'd use this.
Yeah.
Or whiskey sour, probably. I would probably up the amount of whiskey I normally put in this because I still feel like it's like light in a alcohol way, even though it's still 90 proof.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do like a whiskey sour, but add another half ounce or an ounce.
Yeah,
I usually do.
I'm not going to finish mine because I'm already starting to feel some heartburn.
I don't like it with ice. Like,
not at all.
Not at all. It's like gone for me. It's like not even there.
Really?
Yeah.
That saddens me.
No, but I would very much enjoy this any other way. And it'd be a great cocktail one, especially at the price tag.
Yeah, you know, let's go ahead and give this a rating.
I like it, but I don't not like it. That's deep. 6.7.
I'm going to give it a 3.
What?
Yeah.
You just don't like it? So where does it become, I don't like it at all? What's on your 1 to 10?
Well, obviously 1 is don't like it
but
at
where
all.
Does it become like, I sort of like it, but I like it more than I don't like it.
So basic math here.
So you're saying 5.
What?
Wait, no, go on.
Basic math is 1 to 3. 1 is I don't like it. So you do it in thirds. 10 is... there's nothing better.
Okay.
So 10 is separate. Sure. Mm-hmm. So really the scale is 1 through 9. And then
10.9.
And then 10 is reserved for this won't be beat. So
okay.
If we're doing 1 to 9,
okay.
1 through 3 is you know, I don't 1 is I don't like this. 3 is like I don't like this, but I guess I'd drink it.
Yeah.
4 to 6 is you know what? This is pretty good.
Yeah.
7 and 9 is wow. This is incredible.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. I think differently. But
really?
I mean, I think like if I don't like something, it'd be 4 or less.
Okay.
If I like hate something, I'd still be like, if I like could never drink it, I'd probably give it a 1.
You know, what we really should have done is do 1 through 5. That's how most ratings are for whiskeys are 1 through 5.
They're usually 1 through 25, actually. Well, segmented 1 through 25s.
Well, I'm just telling you that every review I've seen, like on Reddit...
Oh, on Reddit,
is either out of 100 or out of 5.
Yeah, most people do out of 100 that I've seen. But the Reddit does a lot of those 1 through 5s.
So. Yeah,
but I like our scale.
I do, too.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I like this one. What did I say, 6.7?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said 3.
Yep.
So I don't like it, but it's kind of like, I guess. If I've got that yawn burp going on here. If it was all that was available to me and I needed whiskey, I would drink it.
But it tells you a lot about Jim Murray and whiskey reviews in general.
Yeah. I think we keep coming back to this over and over on this show is that one of the cool things about whiskey is that if you don't like something... that's because you don't like it, not because it's a bad product.
For sure.
It's just because it didn't strike you as, you know, hitting your flavor profile or whatever, hitting your taste buds the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Flavors are different for everybody. Yeah. So again, you know, I give it a 3 and said that I don't really care for it, but that doesn't make it a bad product.
Yeah.
If this is the best whiskey you've ever tasted, listener, great, buy this. It's cheap. I'm envious of you. Because the greatest whiskey I've ever tasted costs over $100 a bottle. Yeah. So, you know, if this is your, you know, grail whiskey, awesome. Buy the store out because you can get this all day forever.
What's your favorite again?
I don't know.
But it's probably over 100.
Well, that Abuna,
yeah,
is, I keep saying, is like the best whiskey I've ever tasted. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
But is the Abuna like 80, 90?
I think it's about 100.
Yeah. Kentucky Owl Batch 2 is up there with my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's just purely based on taste or if it's also like a combination of that and that it's a hard to get bottle. And like, I was happy to be able to get it. So also that four grain was so good.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
So
really good.
That's a great one. I actually am on a raffle for that right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I actually have two spots on that raffle.
Nice. Yeah.
I want it so bad.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. The other one that I signed up for on that raffle, somebody else won it. So
the Stag one? Or which one?
Yeah, the Stag, I think, is what I signed up for. Yeah, so.
I might get a few of those, but we'll find out in a week.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to figure out how to get that, because you might be gone by the time they do the raffle.
No. I
Oh, you said you might Virginia. Be buying those. Oh,
yeah, in the lottery. I did the math. They have a lot coming out this year. I have a 95% chance of getting at least one bottle off
the raffle. Wow, that's awesome. Do you know, is Arizona a state that you're allowed to ship alcohol to?
I don't know that yet.
Okay.
But It'd be stoked.
Pretty easy to look it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish Wisconsin was one of those states. I think there's only like 7 states.
Yeah, you told me. I was lucky enough to ship something in Colorado once. And this was before.
Like you shipped from Colorado?
No, shipped to. This was from a random website. It was before Japanese got huge and I ordered Hokushu 12.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what that is. But was it like a retail website or was it like a secondary?
It was retail.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
So then Colorado's, it's legal there, for sure. I guess.
Yeah.
Everything's legal in Colorado.
Yeah.
I was actually just reading an article that was on Reddit and it was posted in the Madison, Wisconsin subreddit because it was just talking about like, you know, right now Wisconsin is bringing in Foxconn.
Yep.
And we're basically going to screw our economy up because they're not going to be hiring local people to work there. They're going to have to bring out of state hires basically.
Oh really?
Yeah. Just to be able to like, I'm sure some local people will, but for the most part, it sounds like it's probably going to have to be out of state hires. Mm. And it's just they're going to be robbing our economy basically. There's a lot of reasons why Foxconn, it's a bad deal. And so this article was just talking about like Wisconsin needs to be making money and if they want to do it, they should legalize marijuana because Colorado did it and made like $2.4 billion
in revenue. They made money, but it wasn't like, I don't know. I have my opinions on what that did for the state of Colorado. And like, they're like, it goes to education and like, it really doesn't.
Well, I don't care. I don't care where the money goes.
You're caring about the economy.
I'm caring about the, do you know how many jobs legalizing marijuana created?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, thousands upon thousands of jobs are created, and it's a great, it's a high paying industry that you don't have to be to get a, you know, entry level job in that. You don't have to be some expert in, you know,
you just have to be a stoner.
You don't have to be a horticulturist.
Yeah.
You know, you can go and work in a shop and make $15 an hour doing that.
Yeah.
And so if you're making $15 an hour, you're spending more money to help the economy. You're doing more things that help the economy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I don't want to go too far into this, but like you say, like people are moving to Wisconsin and well, they're making money and they're living in Wisconsin.
I know. You're right. But I want to help the people that are currently here.
No,
I don't want some business to start that's going to cause other people to move here because now they get the job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the job at Foxconn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not qualified to work at Foxconn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, great. There's more jobs in Wisconsin for people who are going to move here and take those
more
jobs. You know, the governor is, you know, boasting about like, hey, I did this deal and it's creating jobs in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. We need jobs in Wisconsin, but it created jobs for people who are going to move here, not your current constituents.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we got a little political there.
I think that's the most we've ever gotten.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, we are going to do Whiskey World News up next, but what are we drinking next week?
That's a great question. We'll talk about it after the break when I look it up.
All right, here's Whiskey World News. Welcome once again to Whiskey World News, and this just in. Next week on Chill Filtered, they're going to be drinking, and by they, I mean we, are going to be drinking Long Branch. That is from Wild Turkey Long Branch. It's the Matthew McConaughey, Matthew McConaughey whiskey.
All right.
We got some mesquite stuff. Isn't that whiskey about, there's something with mesquite?
I don't know, but there is.
I think there was some aging with mesquite, but I don't know.
Mesquite's pretty strong, but go on.
You're pretty strong.
I know.
Hey, we're going to try and do this quick because we're already at 40 minutes on this episode. So this article, so what we do on Whiskey World News is we choose an article from a website and read it. We discuss it. We don't take any credit for it, but this is coming from thenextweb.com, written by Vishwam Sankaran. Sorry, Vishwam, if I'm saying that name wrong. Again, it's thenextweb.com. And this article is only about whiskey in a very tertiary sense. Do you know what tertiary means?
Thirdly.
I don't know. I guess I use it as like a meaning like it talks about whiskey.
It's a third party.
Yeah. Maybe I used that word wrong. I don't know. You let me know. Title of the article is Elon Musk won't smoke weed and drink whiskey on a podcast again, says NASA admin. Huh. I just realized we've been talking about whiskey and weed on this episode. This is not even tertiary.
Yeah, this is secondary.
This is applicable.
Yeah.
All right. So again, the title is Elon Musk won't smoke weed and drink whiskey on a podcast again, says NASA admin. And we're on a podcast. Like everything about this article.
And we talk about NASA all the time.
No.
Okay, fine.
All right. We have talked about space whiskey, though. Yeah, so, we have. Dude, you know what? This article is written for us.
Meant for us.
Vishwam, my brother.
My dog.
All right. Following Elon Musk's recent appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast, during which he smoked weed and drank whiskey while on the air, NASA Administrator Jim Bernstein said the SpaceX CEO promised him he will not behave inappropriately in public again. Oh, it's Bridenstine, not Birdstein. Mm. Bridenstine has every right to be concerned. SpaceX, along with Boeing, has been tasked with developing transportation systems for NASA to fly its astronauts into space. Speaking at a meeting of reporters at NASA's headquarters in Washington, D.C., Bridenstine said that Musk's behavior was reckless. I will tell you that was not helpful, and that did not inspire confidence. Sorry, I'm having a hard time today. And that did not inspire confidence, and the leaders of these organizations need to take that as an example of what to do when you lead an organization that's going to launch American astronauts. Earlier this month, the Washington Post broke news that NASA would conduct reviews of workplace culture in both SpaceX and Boeing following Musk's behavior on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. While the National Space Agency refused to provide a specific reason for the audit, it hinted that it wanted to check if the employees at these companies were sober at work. The agency will be conducting a cultural assessment study in coordination with our commercial partners to ensure the companies are meeting NASA's requirements for workplace safety, including the adherence to a drug-free environment. Bridenstine told The Atlantic that the audits were done to avoid tragedies similar to those in NASA's history. That includes the Apollo 1 fire in 1967 that killed three astronauts and the Challenger and Columbia space shuttle disasters, which together killed 14 people. He said that while technological mishaps were big contributors to these accidents, the workplace culture of the contractors could not be ruled out as a possible reason. Bridenstine added that he wanted to review the workplace culture in SpaceX and Boeing even before Musk smoked weed publicly. Mm. NASA's contract with SpaceX and Boeing, both issued in 2013, required the contractors to maintain a program for achieving a drug and alcohol-free workplace. They also require the companies to conduct pre-employment, reasonable suspicion, random post-accident, and periodic recurring testing of contractor employees in sensitive positions for use in violation of applicable law or federal regulation of alcohol or a controlled substance.
Wow.
That was a sentence, man. In this light, it is understandable why the NASA admin would condemn Musk's behavior on the podcast. Even if smoking weed was legal in California, where the Joe Rogan podcast was made, Musk's act may be seen as the CEO of SpaceX promoting a brand of workplace culture that's not in line with what's expected of his company as an aerospace technology business. While it is debatable if that would have any effect on SpaceX employees, NASA's intention to err on the side of caution is also valid, as the agency has the lives of its own astronauts to worry about. So, I don't know. It was just interesting to me that NASA is concerned that Elon smokes weed.
Yeah.
I get why they're concerned.
So, if you could work in a business where you could take a sip of whiskey in the afternoon, would you? Or would you like be stoked about that? Like, would you take a job for the same qualifying things, just one over the other, just because they?
So I'm gonna take out whiskey.
Yeah.
From that, there are businesses here in Madison, Wisconsin, that usually are tech jobs, tech businesses.
And they have a tap.
And they usually have a keg. Mm-hmm. In the break room, and maybe not every day employees are allowed, but like Friday in the afternoon, you can have a beer. If I am being offered a job that is comparable between two different companies, you know, comparable pay, comparable benefits, the work is basically the same, and one has that option, I'm going with that option.
I think it would put me over the edge a little bit.
It's not that I get to drink. Mm-hmm. It's that
the environment
is such, like, that tells me something about my bosses. That tells me something about the culture of working there.
Yeah.
It's not uptight. Mm-hmm. They're not going to freak out when I wear sandals to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think if I were offered or had a job, like at my last company, it was, of course, they wouldn't allow you to, you know, have a shot of whiskey in the afternoon. But if I always thought about it, I was like, this would be just really chill. Like, I just keep working, doing my thing, and just like sipping at a little ounce pour or something like that.
Yeah.
But I would really like that.
Yeah.
I don't think my next company is going to allow that.
So you'd like to be in Mad Men, where you could have a, have you seen the show Mad Men?
I can imagine. I know he like drinks a lot, but I don't know.
Does he drink at work? You know, it's about 1960s Manhattan advertising agency.
Oh,
any Manhattan place in New York in the 60s that was like
smoking and drinking, I'm sure.
Drinking and smoking all day. Yeah. You're part of your office decor was a bar cart.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
You know, like you, because when a client came in, you'd offer them a drink. That's that was so part of business.
Man.
So, all right. Well, we're over time. And I blame Cole.
Getting paid overtime.
Nope, not getting paid at all.
Patreon, that's at /chillfiltered.
That's right. Patreon.com /chillfiltered.
That's true.
Hey guys, thank you again for tuning in. Next week, like we said, it's Wild Turkey Long Branch. All right. And today it has been the Crown Royal Northern Harvest Rye. You can get it for about $28 at your liquor store, and Long Branch, I think it's around 40.
I want to say so.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't looked it up, but I think it's around 40. It was actually a gift given to me, so I can't say for sure.
And you can get that a lot of places, actually.
Yeah, I've seen it all over.
Same with this bottle we drank today.
Yeah. So, hey, that's it for Chill Filter today. Cole, I love you. As this airs, we're not face-to-face anymore. You're back in Arizona, but hope you're well, and I hope that our love of spirits lifted yours.